Please have a seat, everyone. Before Carl comes up to share with us this morning, I'm just going to read to you some passages from Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Then all the believers were united as they lifted their voices in prayer. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor King David, your servant, saying, why did the nations rage? Why did the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. This is what has happened here in this city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. In fact, everything they did occurred according to your eternal will and plan. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached God's message with boldness.
Thank you, Andy. Well, this is an exciting passage. It's one of those moments where people embrace God and are embraced by God. And we're taking this passage in a series. We've been looking at different people praying. And we've looked at people in the older parts of the Bible. People like Nehemiah and King David. Karen helped us in an all-day service look at a prayer that Jesus taught in the newer part of the Bible. What we call the Lord's Prayer. And it's those cards that are now around the edge of the church show that. And today we are looking at a prayer of early Christians, the first church, the church born on Pentecost, as Andy said earlier. And they come together to pray. They are united together because of a threat. There has been a threat that basically says, stop talking about Jesus or else. And this prayer is the response to that threat by the early church. The people, the rulers, authorities had come against Peter and John, and they didn't want the sovereignty of God to be announced. They didn't want the fact that Jesus is Lord to be announced. But in doing so, they didn't realize it, but in doing so, they were going against the very purposes of God, which is to show that Jesus is Lord and bring all creation and everyone together in his love. So this is their prayer responding to that threat. And just like we saw with Nehemiah a few weeks ago, the prayer starts in verse 24, with God, creator God, sovereign God. And remember, that's a good tip. Start with God when you pray. The God who created everything, as we heard a couple of weeks ago with King David's prayer. All of the planets that tell us that they've discovered 100 more planets somewhere out there in the universe this week. All the planets, all the bigness, down to every tiny particle, every atom, every neutron, every boson Higgs. God created it all. So start with him. But then verse 25 recognizes that God creates, but he also speaks. He reveals, he wants us to know what his plans are about. And all through the ages, he speaks by his Holy Spirit. They recognize in their prayer that he spoke to King David. He spoke before that and he spoke after that. And he spoke to those early Christians and he still speaks today. God is in the business of revealing. Some of you joined last year. We had some workshops in the summer. They were called prophecy workshops, exploring how God speaks today through us. And different people discovered that God could speak through them and to others through them. In a few weeks' time, we've got another workshop, a Gifts of the Holy Spirit workshop. There's a commercial break here. That's Sunday, June the 12th, in the evening. A gifts workshop, where again, we just explore together how God can work through us by his Holy Spirit to achieve his purposes, to bring blessing, to draw people closer to himself. But a prayer goes on in verse 27 with God's anoints. God has purposes and Jesus came to fulfill those purposes, to put those plans in action on the ground here on earth. And Jesus was the ultimate anointed one. The one above all others, where all God's plans come together and through him everything in the universe can start to make sense. God anointed Jesus for his purposes, but also he anointed different people in times and places through history. And he still anoints today. You and me can be part of that, anointing us for his purposes. And it goes on, verse 29, the God who creates, the God who speaks, the God who anoints, the God who enables. The Christians make a direct request to God to enable them in response to this threat. They say, God, stretch out your hand and empower us, enable us to speak your words boldly. Now, little tip here, where it says, speak the word of God boldly, I take that word of God to basically mean telling people about Jesus. And that's because if you read through Acts and you read the chapters leading up to this passage, the first couple of chapters and beyond, you see that all the time, every time, it's about speaking about Jesus. Peter heals someone, the crowd are quizzical about that. Straight away, Peter starts speaking about Jesus. So when they say, empower us to speak the word of God more boldly, they are saying, enable us to speak about Jesus. Remember, they are responding to a threat. The threat said, don't speak about Jesus or else. So their response is, God, empower us to speak about Jesus. Give us the strength, the boldness to go and do that, regardless of these threats. You see what they were doing here? Is they were putting into practice that simple teaching point that we heard earlier in the year. Now, this simple teaching point only has four words. Two of the words, one of them is ability. One of the other words is availability. So four words, ability and availability. Can you remember what the other two words are? God's ability, our availability. That's right. God's ability, our availability. Simple teaching point. Four words. It's God who has the ability. All we provide is the availability. And that's what the Christians were doing in this prayer. They were basically saying, God, in the light of these threats, here we are. We're available to speak about Jesus. Do we need to change microphones? Is this clicking annoying us?
Right.
That clicking will come in handy in a minute. We'll hear what it is. But for now, simple teaching, God's ability, our availability. It's going to be one of those days. Right, God's ability, our availability. I'm just going to plow on, right? And the Christians were saying, look, here we are, we're available. We need your ability. Stretch out your hand, empower us, enable us to speak your words boldly, to do signs and wonders, to bring healing, to show kingdom stuff, despite the threats. Now, what is interesting is what they don't pray. Remember that Peter and John have come face to face with the ruling authorities. The ruling authorities have roughed them up a bit, and told them not to speak about Jesus. So what do the people not pray? Well, they don't pray, Lord, help us to go and beat them up. They don't pray, Lord, help us to go and overthrow them, to remove them from power. They don't pray, Lord, will you remove them from power? No, instead, they pray for healing. For God-given signs and wonders. You see, those early Christians, they understood the times in which they lived. And that's where this little fragment of a poem in the prayer comes in. That's actually a quote from Psalm number 2, poem number 2 in the list of poems earlier in the Bible. And that's where King David is. Remember, we looked at a prayer of David a couple of weeks ago. This is another one of the things that he wrote down or he came up with. And in it, he says, why do the nations conspire against God? Why do they come up with all these futile plans? And in it, he knew that there would be one day an anointed one, that God would send an anointed one who would have a special father Son relationship with God. And that this anointed one would be set as Lord over all the earth. And that all the nations would be in his inheritance. So why do the nations conspire and go against God's plans? Because one day God will have his anointed one and all nations will be drawn to him. And here's the thing, they knew that once set as the anointed one, a clock would be ticking. This is where the clicking might come in handy. Be clicking away. It's interesting, you've got it to stop at just the right moment. How did you do that? You didn't do anything. Oh. The clock would be ticking. Like a countdown timer on your iPhone or on your oven. And when it gets to zero, God would call time against all rebellion and say, enough is enough, that's it. And all rebellion would be squashed. The early Christians knew that Jesus was that anointed one. The Son of God with that Father-Son relationship. And that he was now set in his anointed place. Yes, he had come and he had lived and he had died, but he had risen again and is now alive still today. Set in his anointed place, and therefore the clock
is ticking. The one day, enough will be enough, and all rebellion would be squashed. But they also knew that whilst the clock is ticking away, that God promised that those ticking away times would be special times of God's Spirit poured out. And in that time, with God's Spirit poured out, it's a time of invitation. A time of showing His kingdom with early signs to say, look, you do not have to be in rebellion. You can swap sides. You can come and join. And God will forgive anything that you had stacked up in your rebellion. You don't have to stay in that place of rebellion. You can change sides and find forgiveness and enjoy being part of Jesus and His kingdom. And to show that, to demonstrate that, to confirm that, there would be signs and wonders, healings, blessings. People would have their lives changed, turn around, transformed, all kinds of good stuff. Showing, yes, this is what the kingdom will be like when everything bad is squashed and removed. We need to understand that the clock is still ticking. We are living in the same times. Those early Christians didn't know what God had set the countdown timer to, but they assumed that it must be a few years. Well, they got a bit of a surprise as a few years became decades and then centuries, and now 2,000 years later, that clock is still ticking. But it is still ticking. It will one day get to zero. But in the meantime, His Spirit is still poured out to enable us to declare His kingdom and to show signs of His kingdom, bringing healing, touching lives, transforming, renewing. To say that you don't have to be part of a rebellion. You can change sides and enjoy His presence. I sum all that up by calling it kingdom life. Those early Christians said, stretch out your hand, Lord, to enable us to speak about you boldly and to see healing and signs and wonders, kingdom life across our city. The same call for us to see kingdom life across the city. And we don't have to worry about opposition and threats and stuff. We can leave that in God's hands. We don't have to pray, Lord, overthrow them, because He will do it at His appointed time. In the meantime, we can call on God to empower us to keep talking about Jesus, keep inviting people to give up the rebellion and join in His kingdom. There are two things I love about this corporate prayer. First is the unity. They all join in this prayer together. They all seem to be in it. None of them seems to be saying, oh, well, I'm not really sure why I'm here or I don't know if I'll bother turning up. They all get in and pray for God's sovereignty. That's why two times a year we set a week where we say, look, we're going to mark this week to pray for the life of the church and the witness and what we're doing. And we've got one coming up next week. It starts next Sunday. And on the Wednesday of that week, another commercial break here, 25th, in the evening at 8 o'clock, we all join together, as many of us who can physically make it, to pray, Sovereign Lord, stretch out your hand, enable us to proclaim your kingdom around this city and raise our voices together. So that's Wednesday week. Put it in your diary. But the other thing I love is that clearly
Christians understand.
Are you with me? Yes, thank you. But clearly these Christians understood that they were part of something bigger. So if we go to the the next, well, in fact, the next slide down, please. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I asked you, do you feel part of God's bigger purposes? Do you realize that by following him, you're part of something much, much bigger than just yourself or even of this church? The early Christians understood that. They understood that they were part of this process where the clock was ticking, but in the meantime, the Spirit was poured out and they were to declare his kingdom. Well, what was the outcome of this prayer? A prayer declaring God's sovereignty. A prayer looking for God to empower them, to enable them to show and declare kingdom life. Well, the answer is in verse 31. The whole building was shaken. And all were filled with the Spirit of God. All. Now, all, that's a tiny word, isn't it? It's only got three letters, and two of them are the same. But think about the importance of the word all. Such a small word. But it meant that everyone in the room, everyone who had come together to pray, embraced what God wanted to do among them. That everyone had a part to play, even if they were different shapes and sizes and colours, that they could all house the Spirit of God and shine like a light for him to talk about Jesus and to share and declare his kingdom. This wasn't just something for the keenies. This wasn't just something for the few special people who have to battle with microphones and other things like that. This wasn't just for people who can be super spiritual, but all were filled. All could embrace being part of the bigger purposes of God's. All could go with that. Whether they were used to it, or whether it was first time, or whether they'd experienced this before, perhaps at Pentecost back in Acts chapter 2 earlier, all were filled. But the other thing in verse 31 is it says, after they prayed. I wonder, how long after? Was it in the next second? Was it in the next 30, 60 seconds? Or was it 5 minutes later, 10 minutes, 30 minutes later? Was it an hour later? Was it several hours later? We assume that it wasn't days later because of the way the story seems to run forwards. But how long did they have to actively wait for God's Spirit to shake the room and empower them? Actively wait. Remember the journey we've been on this year. We've looked at Jesus the discipler taking his first followers on this intensive hands-on training course. And he said to them, I'm going to go and disappear into the glory of heaven, but you're going to continue my work. Wait here in Jerusalem for the Spirit to be poured out, for you to be empowered by God. And they did that. And Simon came in, it was just before Easter, wasn't it? And talked about the Pentecost experience and where the Spirit was poured out. And again, all were filled. And extraordinary things happened. That started their journey of doing this stuff on their own without Jesus physically present, but now God very much present by his Spirit in each of their lives. Empowered to talk about Jesus and demonstrate his kingdom. And straight away in Acts, we see that happening. In Acts chapter 3, Peter goes out and he goes into the temple area. He sees a beggar, a cripple, someone crippled from birth. And somehow he gets his attention and says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And stretches out a hand and the guy grasps him and he gets up and starts walking. And that leads the crowd to gather and say, well, what's going on here? We can see, we know this guy, he was crippled from birth, how come he's walking? Straight away, Peter starts talking about Jesus. Well, that leads to an argument with the authorities, and they don't like that. They don't want Jesus to be talked about, whether the man has been healed or not. And they get into conflict with Peter and John. But then, as you read the story, see chapter 4, verse 8, it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks profoundly again about Jesus. This filling of the Spirit is now an ongoing process. And in the moment, Peter is filled with the Spirit again to speak about Jesus. But that leads to the threat, that leads to this prayer, that leads to God doing the whole shake the room, fill everyone again thing. Let's make it our desire to wait on God. To be filled. To allow God to embolden us. To empower us to speak about Jesus and declare his kingdom. That's where the training course leads for every disciple. That is the natural thing. To say to God, stretch out your hand on my life so that I can be part of your kingdom purposes, shining as a light for the world to see. In other words, you would make personally that same prayer and say, look, my availability is at your disposal, God. But I need your ability by your Holy Spirit living and working in me in far greater measure than I could ever imagine. To speak the word of God boldly. To allow God to do kingdom signs, whatever he wants to do. So that we, as a people, can see kingdom life across the city. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to shut up and they can turn the radio mic down and hopefully this awful clicking noise will disappear for a moment. But we are going to actively wait for the Spirit to move among us. And that will mean a period of silence, I guess, unless the Spirit leads people to speak out, which is fine, and we'll go for that. But make a period of silence, not just a sit back and relax and allow the world to pass you by. Make it a period of active expectancy. Of saying, here I am, God, my availability for your ability. And we'll actively wait. And then after some arbitrary undefined periods, I'll stand up and invite us to continue responding and the musicians will come and bring song and help us with that. So I'll pray and then I'll sit down and we'll actively wait. Sovereign Lords, stretch out your hands even in this place among us. Empower and embolden us to be your kingdom people, declaring about Jesus and your wonderful kingdom, inviting people to change sides, demonstrating by healings and signs and other wonders that you want to give. We wait on you now. Let us sit and wait for a few moments.